Joel has told us that the kingdom of God is within the still, small voice. That if you want God, you have to go there. And that would mean that many millions who want God and pray to God are not in direct communion with God because they are not hearing the still, small voice. I think you should clarify that statement by knowing where the still, small voice is. So that would tell you why you either hear it or do not. And it's really in two places. It's in the kingdom of God, for one thing. And if you are not in the kingdom of God, you're not going to hear the still, small voice. For God can never be outside the kingdom of God. And then what are you going to hear it with? This mind of ours can only hear the world mind. It can only hear the static of this world. And you know by now that only your soul can hear the still, small voice. So the full statement would be that the kingdom of God is in the still, small voice which enters your soul. And with this complete picture, at least you know where to go to receive divine guidance, divine impartation, divine love, divine will, and all of the divine qualities of the Father. We have been told that the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. And this would mean that the human brain, with all its probing and scrutinizing and analyzing, is never capable of making contact with the kingdom of God. And then we are told to wait for the millennium or to wait to be ushered by a returning leader into the kingdom of God. And we have all been under some misapprehension about the things of this world, completely unaware that nothing is here but the kingdom of God now. We walk in it unaware. We think we are the creature, the natural man living in the world. And the great stupendous revelation of the Bible is that you are the divine man living in the kingdom of God, which is not from him. Here we stand in the kingdom of God, suffering, tyrannized, dominated, finding little surcease from constantly recurring problems, while the ground we stand upon is holy. Why do we do it? Because we have not awakened to the fact that the kingdom of God is here and available to us through our soul. The fruits of the kingdom can only flow when you are living in the kingdom. And if you just cast a casual glance in any direction, sometimes even at infinite waste students, it is sad to relate that we are not aware that we walk in the kingdom now. And so we draw upon ourselves a veil. The great cosmic fog, and we walk in a world which is not there, while in the kingdom we stand blind. The pity of it is that this was the case when even Moses came upon the scene. And he didn't say a word any different than we just heard, other than to call it life in the Garden of Eden, with two people who did not know they were in the kingdom of God. And so the complete symbology was, here is the human race walking in the garden of spirit, thinking that it lived in the garden of matter. And here in the 20th century, our modern Adam and Eve walked in the garden of spirit, thinking they live in the garden of matter. And in those intervening thousands of years, the complete story of Adam and Eve has completely lost its meaning for the human race. It's been an anecdote instead of a description of a human dilemma. The cosmic mind, the world mind, the carnal mind, all the same, are still fooling the human race into believing that there is a future kingdom, not a now kingdom, that there is a remote kingdom and not a here kingdom. And the first sign of light within your own consciousness tells you that God is here and God is in the kingdom, and God is here now and the kingdom is here now. And where can it be? In our third day in the wilderness, for us the third, but it'll turn out in your latest study to be the 11th day. In the 11th day in the kingdom, in the wilderness, you suddenly become aware this is no wilderness. There is no such place. There is no such thing as a world. There is only the kingdom of God. What else could there be? And because my kingdom is not this world, but my kingdom is here, we who accept the presence of the kingdom of God are privileged to begin an accelerated journey into divinity. Your divine birth and your divine rebirth can never take place outside the kingdom of God. And the longer you remain in the belief that you are not in the kingdom, the longer you push away the very salvation of your being. And therefore, our first wilderness theme for today, forgetting all about this morning and last night, our first right now is, this is the kingdom of God. We're stepping ahead 1,000 light years, banishing all the hypnosis of centuries that have waited for Jesus to return. This is the kingdom. And therefore, were you to begin your wilderness experience in the morning with that, you would awaken with the knowledge that I am in the kingdom of God now. There are no human beings in the kingdom of God. And so your acceptance is incomplete if you're still looking out and seeing something that you label a human being. Or a bird, or an animal, or a squirrel, or whatever you want to see. You must see it spiritually. You must see the mountains spiritually, and the water spiritually, and the atmosphere spiritually, and the activities of the world spiritually. Because all that takes place in the kingdom of God is spiritual. Now, your adjustment to living in the kingdom of God is quite radical, quite joyous, almost a total turnaround. There's only one life, the life of God in the kingdom of God. There's only one will in the kingdom of God. That banishes all individual human will. There's only one substance of spirit, or if you wish, essence, or if you wish, life. There's only one law, perfection. There's nothing but harmony. And so you're going to have to see with the inner eye as you walk in your kingdom through all of the visible denials of that fact. Everything in the world will try to trick you and tempt you into the belief that you are not in the kingdom of God. And unless you are aware that you are and alert to the treachery of the world mind, you will easily be persuaded that you are not in the kingdom as man has been. You might go another step. When did you leave the kingdom of God? And weigh that word, you. Because your answer will tell you who you think you are. If your answer is you left the kingdom of God at some time, then you're not talking about I, the child, the son. If your answer is I never left the kingdom, you're in truth. Now let's hope you can, with conviction, find the way to know that I, the child of God, have never left the kingdom of God. There's no way. And there's no place else to go. And so, number one, if you're upholding the truth that you are in the kingdom of God, for you that should be more than an assignment for the day. It is meant to be the beginning of a lifetime practice. I am in the kingdom of God now, and it is here invisible. And the I that is in it is equally invisible. I am that pure consciousness which lives in the kingdom of God. I know that in this consciousness, maintained steadfastly, in spite of every attempt of the world mind to hypnotize you back into a human body and a human world, you will be the prodigal returning home. And you will find that the Father will come forth to greet you with the treasures of the kingdom that you acknowledge. All things will be added unto you because all things are here ready to be added. Now this is quite different than the earlier days in the wilderness, when with your senses you were looking at things and trying to figure out how they're not there, although you saw them, and when you were trying to adjust to this new approach to life. This is apparently easier at first blush, because it's right across the border. It's total. This is a kingdom. The substance of it is my Father's Spirit and my Spirit. The life of it is my Father's life and my life. The rhythm of it is my Father's rhythm. The will of it is my Father's will. The power of it is my Father's power. Now go ahead and prove to me that I'm wrong. That's your attitude. Tempt me. Go ahead. That's the attitude. And that's the way the day is spent. In the kingdom of God, not in the office, not in the home, not on the highway, not on a sightseeing trip. Do all those things, but you do them in the kingdom of God. You take along this invisible self and to your joy, as you are making this effort to maintain continuity consciously as the Spirit of God living in the kingdom of God, you are bringing into play that remarkable faculty which has the capacity to hear the still small voice. Your soul will respond when you are standing in I divine. I'm standing here in this kingdom of God. Your soul will be awakened. And it has the capacity to transcend every trick of the world mind without the slightest effort. All that your mind has been trying to do in your adjustment period, your soul does in one giant stride. But it has been waiting there, dormant, as it were, for your recognition that here in the kingdom of God I stand. That's our first meditation right now. So if you find you're coughing, don't be fooled by it. There's no coughing in the kingdom of God, and that's where you are. And if you hear the cough 10 times, remember, I am in the kingdom of God, and that which is coughing is the cosmic mind saying, no, you're not. But I am. The fact does not change, though the world mind makes your senses believe there is another fact than the truth. Unwaveringly, you remain where the truth is, knowing it cannot be changed by the lie. Whether it's a cough or any other form of disturbance, no matter how serious it might be, it does not and cannot exist in the kingdom of God. And that is the inner declaration which opens your soul, starts it in flight. I am in the kingdom of God now, and I will be in the kingdom of God all this day and for every day to come, and I will rest in that consciousness and let it deepen. And of course is only a beginning. Total demonstration of Jesus the Christ was that the kingdom of God is what I am revealing to you. Here is my Father's kingdom.
live in it. Seek it first. There's nothing you can do that's more important than to consciously become aware of that invisible kingdom which has ever been present, waiting for those who love God supremely. For how can you glorify the Father when you live in the world? How can you express the Father when you live in the world? Here in the kingdom, we become instruments for the divine expression. Our soul is discovered to be in its natural habitat, where it can weave the garment of immortality, where its thirst for divine essence can be fulfilled, where spirit can kindle the soul with fire. Here in our Father's kingdom, we find that meat that satisfies. We find the water that eliminates all need for thirst again. Here we are made whole, complete, in the image and likeness of the Infinite Father. Here you will be anointed. Here is the baptism of the Spirit. All this you open your soul to when you accept the presence of the kingdom of God, though it be invisible to all human sense. And the longer you live in it, the more you will discover that old man Goliath is just a little guy standing on stilts, hiding behind a big coat of armor that collapses when you stand in your reality. All the horrors of this world have no way to express in the consciousness of the presence of the kingdom here now. You are nurturing that unborn child within you. You are feeding it divine essence. There will be a moment when something will occur in your life, so startling perhaps, and so sudden, that you lose all knowledge of being in the kingdom of God. Instantaneously you feel, how can I be there if this is happening? I've made a great mistake. Somewhere I have strayed. Don't believe it. It's just a disguise of the world mind all over again, trying to make you believe you made a mistake. Trying to make you believe that something in you has, in some way, lost your way in the invisible kingdom. But know this, please. You never have left the kingdom, and you never have the power to leave. There's no way out of the kingdom of God. If you try to leave it, you cannot. What you can do is go back into a false self. But you are always in the kingdom. Only the false self, created by a false belief in a world of flesh and blood and matter. Oh yes, that's not in the kingdom because it's not existent. When you are forced to create a non-existent self, it would appear that you're not in the kingdom. But we're talking about your identity, not the creature that you once thought you were. And so whatever startling may happen, have the capacity to look at it with that beautiful phrase, "Who convinceth me of sin? I, the Divine Son, I'm not falling into the ocean. I'm not going to be buried under an earthquake. I, the Divine Son, can never step out of the kingdom of God, which is forever perfectly maintained by my Father." That's what temptations are all about. They're trying to convince you that you're not the Divine Son and that you're not in the kingdom of God. And they've succeeded fairly well for thousands of years. There can be a conscious realization of this. And I am sure it will come. All it requires is your willingness to live in the kingdom consciously. The second meditation, the second day would be, I can never leave the kingdom. For I am the living Christ of God. I am in it. The first day and the second day, I am in it forever. I can never leave it. Just as my Father can never leave me, I can never leave the kingdom of God. All that says I have or can or will is a denial of the truth. With this should come the capacity and perhaps the courage to stare at the iniquity and knowing it cannot happen and is not happening in the kingdom of God that I inhabit. And your fidelity to that is more important than your reaction to the iniquity. It cannot happen in the kingdom of God that I inhabit. I'm not stepping out to honor the iniquity. I honor the kingdom. That's where your integrity lies. The courage to withhold your response to the iniquity in order to firm your unwavering acceptance of where and who you are and to trust it totally. The third day. Harmony is the law of my kingdom. I walk in the midst of the visible discord, knowing harmony is the law of my kingdom. I'm not living in the world of discord. I'm not walking in a human form in that world of discord. I'm living in my divine selfhood as pure consciousness, while appearing to human sense in a mortal form in a world of discord. Against that consciousness, practiced, practiced, and practiced again, the tempter finds no capacity to penetrate your armor of truth. And though at first you may struggle to maintain it, that struggle will solidify your capacity, strengthen your capacity, and every test will be an aid to the ultimate triumph. There must be these testings for the triumph to follow. The acceptance of the discord is happening is the acceptance that you are not in the kingdom. And that is death. The penalty for stepping out of the kingdom becomes death itself. Everyone out of the kingdom dies. Everyone in the kingdom goes through the mystical death first and then transcends to higher ground. So you can win the argument and surrender to death, rather to seemingly lose the argument and transcend. Peter, lay down your sword. We don't need swords in the kingdom of God. Live your life on your divine terms, not on the terms of the cosmic world mind. This is the kingdom of God. The life of God is the life of the kingdom, is the third day. The life of God is the only life in this kingdom. And so, don't stop there. That's part of our problem. We take something and we think, I've got to just hold that phrase and stay with that phrase. No, expand it out. That's the generic idea. The application of it is what is important. The life of God is the only life in the kingdom of God. Where the world appears, the kingdom of God is. Where other lives appear, the kingdom of God is, and the life of God is. And so this dead man that you're called upon to resurrect, is he dead? The life of God is there, says Jesus the Christ. This is not a dead man. Oh yes, I saw a soldier come over and get into an altercation with him and stab him to death. And he's lying in this coffin. But he didn't choose to die. He's not a suicide case. It was not his will to die. He's not beyond redemption even now. Because what you saw happen happened in your world. But what I know happens there in the kingdom where you see the world. And I see the life of the Father, where the world sees the life of a man. And says Jesus the Christ, watch, I'll prove it. And the boy sits up in the coffin. What else is the demonstration telling us? That there are two lives there, the one the world sees and the one that is in the kingdom of God. Where did healings take place if not in the kingdom of God? Where the world saw the sick person, the comatose person, the dead person, the leper, and so forth. The soul of you sees the life that is divine. And in the recognition of it, manifests invisibly in the kingdom and brings it forth through the soul of the so-called deceased or diseased individual, because there is one life, one soul, and that which appears finally as a healing is the revelation of Jesus the Christ, that here is the kingdom of God right where the world sees dying people, and here is the infinite, eternal life of God, all here. And that is why they are manifesting as Lazarus walking forth, the comatose girl awakening, the little boy in the village of Nain sitting up, and the nobleman's son recovering. Proving here is the kingdom of God, here is the life of God. And it can't be just in that little spot over there. It is omnipresent. Is living in the kingdom of God, in the consciousness of the life of God, is the one who is ready to manifest that life. And that one should be you. That is our quest, our mission. We are here wherever possible to bear witness to the life of God in ourself, in our fellow man. And whenever the opportunity arises for you to know the truth, it will be done by you only if you are living in your divine consciousness, in your divine kingdom, in your divine selfhood. You can't change hats suddenly to meet an emergency. You've got to be there. And the emergency may be you. We've covered approximately 13 days in the wilderness. And although this is only a trial run, even in our trial run here now, we should be developing a confidence. A feeling that it's within the realm of attainment. It isn't as remote as it may have seemed at one time. After all, who's the healer but the Spirit itself? And so your proper identity at this moment should be, I am that eternal life, which is the only life in the kingdom of God. And then your fourth principle for the fourth day would be, I am the life of every self who walks this earth. I am the one invisible life of every human self. That's important, because if you're not the life of every human self, then you're accepting a finite life. There is none. So you lose your life unless you accept yourself to be the life of all. Now, we did that earlier, but now you're doing it in a slightly different way. You're doing it with the knowledge that you're living in the kingdom of God, where there is only one life. Before, you did it without knowing or thinking or feeling that you were living in the kingdom of God. Now, this gives you a fortification to understand why you are the one life. For there is only one in the kingdom. Yeah.
Your kingdom is not of this world. But your kingdom is right here and totally available to manifest its treasures through your soul consciousness. Not your mind consciousness, not your brain consciousness. That was why we had to stress at the beginning that brain hypnosis separates us from our own divinity. Your only expression of divinity comes through your soul. The Bible calls it the single eye. Thine eye be full of light, thy body will the body spoken of in this phrase is your soul body. In your soul consciousness, the light of your soul becomes your soul body. It will be the body with which you will live in the kingdom of God. It will not be finite. You will not see its shape per se. You will see a facsimile of it. You may see a facsimile of many soul bodies in your spiritual kingdom. But there is only one body, and everything you see will be a facsimile or a diminished symbol of the one infinite soul body. Practice that I am the life of every form walking this earth takes you away from this personal sense of being, which has been so hampering, so limiting. Let us practice that. I am the life of my human son. You see, the life of my human son is the infinite spiritual light in the kingdom. So my son's real life and my life are one life. I am the life of my deceased mother and her life is living as my life and both are the same life. She has never gone, only the form. I want you to feel this. You are the life of all your ancestors. Throughout eternity, your ancestors have never died. Their life is still the one life, the very same life that you are. Accept it or deny your own life. Your life is the invisible life of all who have ever walked this earth. Your life is the life of your competitor in business. It's the life of every boy who allegedly died on a battlefield. The same life was theirs and is, because that life is eternal life. The life never dies. The life is always present. It is always one. It is always infinite. It is always perfectly expressing the Father. That's why we have tried to learn not to be attached to form.
The life is always present, and you can never be separated from it. I can never be separated from the one divine life in the kingdom of God. And therefore it feeds me. It is my meat and my bread. It feeds my soul. It knoweth my needs. It fulfills all that the Father knows I need. Your trust in your life will be fulfilled if you accept your life to be without beginning or end. Totally unseparated ever from its own infinite self. That is a miracle awaiting us all in the kingdom of God, in the life of that kingdom. In divine labor now, and we are moving toward the experience of the birth of Christ. When a woman is in labor, or prior to that, she changes her whole lifestyle. She consults her physician, she changes her diet, she gets a lot of sleep and a lot of rest. She asks friends about child care. All her thoughts are about this coming event. She concentrates on it. Her mind is elsewhere. And we in this divine birth must keep our consciousness on this as the prime motivation of our lives. There is nothing more important than the birth of Christ in you, the realization that I am the divine self of God. And so every sacrifice that you make is nothing more than a contribution to your own eternal life. And every time your mind has a tendency to stray away from your prime purpose, your absolute mission here, it's your function to say to that mind, be still. You are here to serve the Father. And in time, this mind will be linked with your soul. After Jesus had said that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer and be killed, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. I will not let you go to Jerusalem and suffer and be killed." Now this is your mind saying to you, do not die to mortality. That's what this is. Your mind speaks out and it says, no, you can't die to mortality. What have you got left? Why did you get it in the first place? And this is the world mind's attempt to dissuade you from your conviction that divine birth is your mission. Jesus going to that cross knowingly to die, willingly giving himself to that, is a teaching to you that you will be challenged by your own mind in the form of Peter here. And don't forget, Peter loves Jesus, see? It's not an enemy. It's something very close to you. It says to you, once you give up your mortal self, you might find out too late you've made a mistake. So what do you say to your mind? But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. That's what you say to your mind. Because that's who it is, that's Satan. That's the world mind in disguise, pretending to be your mind, trying to protect you from surrendering your mortal sense of life. You know it's going to happen many times. It will take so many disguises and sound so plausible when it happens. It will appeal to all of your instincts for self-preservation. And you will see the logic of what your mind is saying. That's why this is happening. To alert you to what you should expect. For the more you intensify your determination to live in the kingdom of God, in your divine selfhood, forsaking your mortal sense of life, so will your determination be matched by the cosmic or carnal mind. It is building a crescendo for a final confrontation. And if it can out-talk you and intimidate you, that's what it's trying to do. Or beguile you with sweet talk, pointing out all the nice things you can do with your mortal life. And there are so many. So be alerted to detect what is called the serpent in the garden. Get thee behind me, Satan, says he to his disciple, to a disciple who adores him. Thou art an offense and an abomination unto me. For thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Spirit has placed before us the Christ who knows he is the Christ, and the Christ, Peter, who does not know he is the Christ, showing us the difference. One wants to save the mortal skin of his dear commander-in-chief, and the commander-in-chief who lives only in his divine selfhood is perfectly ready to demonstrate he's not in that form. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever refuses to mount the cross, whosoever refuses to move out of mortal sense and to move into the acceptance of divinity here and now, in the kingdom here and now, whosoever cannot catch that vision and tries to save his mortal life will lose it. Time will take care of that. This to you is your confirmation that is the will of God expressed through Christ, that you try not to save your mortal life. And it goes further to tell you that by trying to save it, you will lose it, which you already know. Because everyone who has passed from this earth has not passed because they were living in their divine life. They have passed because it was necessary for them once more to return to find the divine life they were unaware of. With those thousands of exceptions who did discover their own divine reality and made the transition. What is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? When you reject the temptation to step out of your divinity into mortal life, it is because you are living in your soul. But when you respond to the temptation, you step out of your divinity, out of your awareness of soul, and you lose it. And so even if you should gain the world, having lost your soul, you have lost the only instrument which has direct contact with the infinite part. These are the stakes. You're almost saying you can, by your fidelity to remaining in soul consciousness in the kingdom, you can prevent the need for that death which results in reincarnation. And you can bring into play that inner resurrection which in turn lifts you above the human death into the inner death of mortality prior to death, which finally breaks the bonds of the world mind and exalts you into the first heaven. We are at this point given the capacity to determine whether we ascend or retreat. And it should be clear that you have that capacity to make the choice. A capacity you did not have before the demonstration of Jesus Christ. Because it was unknown to the mind of man. Whosoever loses his life whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Conversely, what happens? Whosoever will not try to save his mortal life but will try to shuck it off will find his immortal life. And your faith in the words of the Christ will be rewarded